in regard to issues of prayer, I tell you, I really appreciate Ian and Carol McGrath, the missionaries to Central and South America. And it's a long story, their journey, coming to spirituality and by grace, by faith, and the Holy Spirit. It's been several years battle for them. Several years ago we talked, earlier this year their eyes were open, the veil lifted, as it were, and they saw. And I tell you, I just appreciate them so much. Their attitude and things that they've done, they sent out the little shell, the Galatians thing, to so many people. But along with all of that, Carol called me today, and I want to give you several things to be in prayer about. If you just really sees and wants so many people to see this, first of all, there is a missionary. David Love, who is in Colombia, the country of Colombia, and they contacted David, and he is. They sent him the Galatians, the little four-pack Galatians, and some of the pamphlets on how spirituality is patterned off of salvation, and he was very receptive. So be in prayer as David Love listens to the series and just sees these things. Then she called the lady that is in charge in... they're in Costa Rica. They have a spirituality week, and she called that lady to see if they had a speaker this year already. Of course, it would have been this late, they would, but the lady said yes, and Carol kept talking. Well, Linda, I've got a long order. We're going to send them, in the final analysis, 80 of those shells, but we'll send them 20 at a time or something like that. So we'll do it slowly, and I'll get you the address and everything, but we want to start sending those. And whom those are going to? Those are going to what we'll call students in their final stage before they go out on the mission field. And there'll be 80 families that are in the school here, and so please be in prayer. I'm giving you these things to be in prayer for. Missionary David Love in Colombia. These 80 students and their families in Costa Rica. So please be in prayer for them. And then she called. These are people that they normally have contact with. Another prayer request in the Rio Grande Bible Institute, and in Edinburgh, Texas. And wants to send the. She's already sent the Galatians tapes to the president, Dr. Russ Hobbs, H-O-B-B-S. And so here we have approximately 110 students in their seminary and 60 in their missions. And so please be in prayer in regard to getting them the message. She's in the process, Carol, calling a lot of organizational heads like these. And calling them and telling them about it, what it's meant to her and Ian. And so please be in prayer for all of those organizations and missionaries and Carol and Ian McGrath. I want to get them here, let him give a report to us of things that happen when he goes out and speaks and uses the pamphlets that you pay for. So please just be in prayer for all of those things I've just given you. Anything else we need to be in prayer about? Yes.
We had some surgery today. That was planned.
Okay.
But I pay for duty recovery. I'm going there tomorrow, so I don't think those children want me to take care of her.
How long are you going to be up there?
8 days.
Whoa. All right. It's pretty time up there right now.
Yeah.
That'll be good. All right. Well, we'll certainly be in prayer for Liam. My goodness. Let's see. You're going tomorrow? Okay, we'll be in prayer. Anything else we need to be in prayer about? Yes.
I'm going to pray about how Ian and Carol
Ian went Dominican Republic and got in on the police departments and stations and training schools, and had a good, real good response. Did not get into the military because Castro did come, and all of those were in tight security and on alert the whole time. But as far as the police, yes. And gotten some more invitations to go to some other places in Central and South America, and it's just amazing the doors that are open. In fact, I don't know which one of those that I just went with you, they were talking, and just so impressed with the things, and said, boy, y'all must be a big organization. And girl, I said, well, no, not exactly. And said, well, I just can't believe you're not, with the truth that you're teaching and things that you're doing. So just be in prayer for them and God using them. Okay, anything else? Steph, how you doing? We'll continue to be in prayer for Steph and her pregnancy. Okay, let's begin in a word of prayer, and that God the Spirit will open our eyes. People, we continue really moving to a different momentum level in our study of spiritual love. Love of God, love that is given by the Holy Spirit, is one of those things, probably the thing, a lot of Christians like to talk about until the crisis, until a believer sins, or until something comes up where what love is designed to do, they set it aside and go to something else. Christians like to talk about God sending His Son and what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. But the way that they live with one another, this wasn't enough. And it doesn't matter whether repentance or anything. If a believer sins in a way that really offends them, both Victorian period type of sins, it doesn't matter what we talk about the cross. That didn't take care of it. That wasn't enough. We've got God's justice, righteousness still has to just cast these sinners out, and believing sinners and all this. And you, in other words, what you really have to see here is happening is you have to earn their love. And that is not the love that comes to us through God the Holy Spirit. This is a love that you cannot earn. And this is what we are in the midst of looking at now. So let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes and see these things and understand that the sum total of all that God is in three words. God is love. That defies all understanding of man. It is the mystery. It is the one thing that Satan cannot stand. I used to say that Satan hated the doctrine or the concept of grace. But even in the greater sense, what Satan really hates is the love of God, i.e. God. For God is love. And he can't stand that. And so let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes and we can see what this love is. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have declared that you are love. It is that love that you are that is poured into us by your Spirit that we are to allow your Spirit to pour in us and through us, that this is what others receive from us. And Heavenly Father, this is so difficult because the demands of love are so demanding. Nothing will demand more than to love as Christ loved us. Father, we make no pretense of in this study of understanding love, but Father, to get a glimpse from your scriptures, from your Spirit, what this love is, how it looks, so that, Heavenly Father, we might be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit in our relationships with one another. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. With the Y2K coming on the scene, so many soothsayers, preachers, evangelists, TV people, the rapture is very prominent discussion. End of time is a very prominent discussion. And a lot of people have their dates now. They're naming dates. 2000, 2001, 2007, you know, this type of thing. And we're going to get into some of these things. But I do want, again, to express to you that, let me just to make my point as dramatic as I can, let's say that everything does occur in 2000, and let's just say the rapture occurs. But what I want you to realize, dear people, even if that's true, let's say we don't know, but let's say that it is. I want to put upon your soul the fact that you still have September, October, November, December, 16 months to live with one another. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter until we get there, husbands. Wives, friends in our life, family in our life, those in the local assembly, the local church, people we come in contact with at work, and just in the general run of life, people, you're going to have to live, you know, in the spirit of their lives at this point. And let's say, which will be most disappointing to a lot of people, and I mean, I know one, even a couple of them personally, got this figured out, and are saying so on their tapes and all, this is going to be the rapture, and boil on and on and on. And if it doesn't work out that way, you're still going to have to live your life with one another. And I want to make it so clear to you that whatever's going to happen, and whenever the rapture does occur, that's in God's timing. But until it does, we're going to have to live with one another. We're going to have to function with one another. And this is where spiritual love becomes the great issue in how we live with one another. Now, 2 weeks ago, we started in the understanding, as we finished up 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, which described a life without love. What your life looks like without love. And a life without love, you still have your spiritual gifts, you have knowledge of Scripture, you have giving, you have all those things that we studied, but you're nothing. You have no impact in the spiritual warfare. And we're now getting ready to begin and go into and take a look at a life with love. And 2 weeks ago, we began this by looking at the concept of biblical words used for love. We talked about language. We talked about how in many languages there are different words for love, but in the English we just have the one word for love. We talked about defining it, and we saw that the Bible does not define love. The Bible describes love. The Bible describes when love is present. The Bible describes when love is absent. A lot of people say this is love, and they abuse one another, they neglect one another. And it's like James. James says, you claim faith, but your faith is dead. People, you can claim whatever you want. And if it satisfies you that you're having faith, that you're loved, that you're all of these things, then that's between you and God. But the truth of the matter is, you don't. And that's what James is saying about love. That's what John is saying. I mean, James is saying about faith. John, in his epistle, 1 John, says about love. You can claim you have love. But whether or not you do, it's going to be seen in the manifestation, and that's what some of the things we're going to look at now. What we did last 2 weeks ago, and I didn't realize some of you were so acute and to this and wanted a little bit more, and so I said okay. And what we did last week or 2 weeks ago, I made a very strong and fast sweep through Hebrew and Greek words. And so I want to go back and look at them. There are two major Hebrew words for love. There are two major Hebrew words for love, and we're going to have a little fun tonight. So you just get ready, put on your track shoes, because we're going to do some things here. But the first Hebrew word, one of the Hebrew words is ahav. It looks like this in the in the Hebrew. And this is an A, ahav, A-H-A-B-H sound. Ahav, A-H-A-B-H. Then the second word is kesed, kesed. See, this is, remember, Hebrew reads from right to left. So this is C-H, and then the vowels put in later. S-B. And if we just fill in some things here, C-H-E-S-E-D, chesed, is this word. Now, ahav, translated love, is found 41 times, 41 times in 38 verses. Chesed is found in 249 times in the Old Testament in 241 verses. Chesed is the book, is the word. Last 2 weeks ago, I told you that there were actually books, and I pulled a couple of them out and took them last week with me. But just written on this one word right there, and a lot of conclusions, man's conclusions made about the word. These are rich words, and I want to show you something about them. Both words are translated love, along with other translations. Chesed has a great number of translations. Ahav is used, this word right here. Oh, let me just not do it separately. I want to get on with my time tonight. Both words. Both words are used where God is the subject. Both words are used where man is the subject. In other words, man doing the loving, God doing the loving. Both words, like in reference to God, man is the object, and things are the object. In both of these words, man loves God. In some cases, God is the object. And some things, some very bad things are the object. Loving the adulteress, all this type of thing. So if you wanted to say, wouldn't it be nice if this word were only used, one of the words were only used when God is the subject and the other one man is the subject, then we could start really putting a handle on this thing. But we can't do that. So here again, we're left up with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Ahav is translated in basically just love in so many different ways. Chesed is translated in a multitude of ways, as we're going to take a look at. What I want you to do, what I'd like to do with you now, is to go show you some of the difficulty in translation of these things, and show you, as we read through the variety of different ways in which this is translated, open your text to, let me show you something, so you'll relax a moment. We won't go through every one. Okay, let's relax. But we're all going to look at a lot. I want you to see some things, and I picked these for a particular reason. Okay, take your text, let's open to Genesis 19. But some of this is going to be interesting for you just to see, and you might want to write them down and then have your own fun going back over. But by fun, I mean your own enjoyment at home and some time in the Spirit. All right, Genesis 19, and let's look at verse 19. Genesis 19:19. Now, behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard. What I'm going to do for you, and I thought about writing it up here, and if I'd really planned, I'd have taken it in and had it done professionally. But anyway, you'll just have to go with me on this. But let me just say, you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me. Now, the New American Standard loving kindness, the NIV, anybody have the NIV? Anybody reading the NIV tonight? Good. Okay, ladies. Does anybody have the King James? Oh, good. Somebody still carrying a King James. All right. I just want you to pay attention with me. We're doing this on purpose. Don't clean this out tonight. Listen. All right. New American Standard, loving kindness. NIV, great kindness. King James, mercy. They're all translating the word chesed. What we're looking at is the word chesed. This is the word we're looking at. One of that's so rich in this area. So that gives you that. Now look at chapter 20. I'm going to show you something. Chapter 20. And look with me at verse 13. Chapter 20, verse 13. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is the kindness which you will show to me. Now this time the NASB translates this word kindness, and lo and behold, NIV translates it love. So I'm just showing you translations. You've got people who form the committees and things that have translations. They have a philosophy of what they're trying to do. And sometimes they're really good, sometimes they're not, but I just want to show you, and the King James on this one does it, kindness. Okay, let's look at 24, Genesis 24. 24 verse 12. Look with me, 24 verse 12. Okay, now, and he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Alright, the NASB, loving kindness. The NIV, just kindness this time. No great kindness, not love, just the word kindness. The King James, kindness. Look at verse 27 in chapter 24. Forget we're dealing with the same thing. Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth. Now, the NIV translates this just kindness. And what's interesting here, the King James changes it then to mercy. Just to give you another feel of this, in the New American Standard it says, and his truth. The NIV says, and his faithfulness. So it gives you that right. Look at Exodus 15. Exodus 15. It's some of the things about love, and as far as the text is concerned. Exodus 15, and we're going to look at verse 13. In thy loving kindness, thou hast led the people whom thou hast redeemed. I love this verse. It's a very important verse on divine guidance. Take a look at it just for that way for a moment. In thy loving kindness thou hast led thy people whom thou hast redeemed. In thy strength thou hast guided them. Very beautiful verse on divine guidance and just following through. We studied this in our Isaac study. Okay, now in the verse 13 here, in thy loving kindness, the NIV has unfailing love. And instead of any of their other translations, they've given us another translation now. The NIV did. Unfailing love. What does the King James do? The King James, mercy. And thy mercy. So here we have, in dealing with divine guidance, in dealing with why God guides us, it is in your loving kindness, in your unfailing love, and in your mercy. Three different concepts from this word, chesed, in his guiding. Look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34, and we're going to look at verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Now, the NIV here just has love. In thy abounding in love and faithfulness. The King James is merciful is the word they use. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel. Let's get a different translation. Faithfulness. I mean, 1 Samuel. So, let's take a look here. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. Just showing you all the different ways. That's why the ones we're looking at are going to have different translations for us. First Samuel chapter 20, verse 14. And if I am still alive, will you not show me the loving kindness of the Lord, that I may not die? Now here, the NIV translates this unfailing kindness. Will you show me the unfailing kindness of the Lord? The King James, the kindness of the Lord. Let's look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, for new, another word for this. 2 Samuel 3. We're going to have another word for translating the word chesed. 2 Samuel 3, and we're going to look at verse 8. 2 Samuel 3, 8. Then Abner was very angry over the words of Ish-bosheth and said, am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show kindness. Kindness to the house of Saul. The NIV has a really interesting translation here for our word. They translate it, how they translate it, ladies? Loyal. See, I will show loyalty to the house. And the King James translates it, kindness. So in this one, we have loyalty, kindness, and kindness. Look at 2 Samuel 15. Now this will be a new one for the NASV. 2 Samuel 15. Still dealing with the same word. They haven't changed words. 2 Samuel 15, 20. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander with us while I go where I will? Return and take back your... Well, wait a minute. Let's see. 2 Samuel 15. Do what? Oh, I just didn't read far enough. The verse didn't ring that I'd read it and studied it. Return and take back your brothers. Mercy and truth be with you. Now, this is a new one for NASV. They have not translated it mercy until here. So here they change from the loving kindness. They translated it loving kindness, just kindness. But now they translate it mercy. And here the NIV translates it kindness. Mercy or kindness and truth. Okay, let's look at 2 Samuel 16, the next chapter, verse 17. 16, verse 17. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this your loyalty to your friend? Now, isn't this interesting? Earlier, it was the NIV who liked the word loyalty. This time, the NASB says, is this your loyalty? The NIV says, is this your love to your friend? And the King James says, is this your kindness? So here we have the same word, love, loyalty, kindness. So this word is picking up in its uses. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 31. 1 Kings 20, 31. And his servant said to him, behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Now, here's one of those times, all three translated exactly the same way. The NIV, the NASB, and the King James. Merciful. All right, let's look at 2 Chronicles 35. 2 Chronicles 35. 2 Chronicles 35. Okay. Verse 26. This is going to be interesting. All right. With a new translation, by the way. 35:26. Okay. Now, the rest of the acts of Josiah and his deeds of devotion. Now, this is a new translation because they haven't used devotion. The NASB hasn't. And the NIV has acts of devotion. And the King James, goodness. Acts or deeds of goodness. So this is our word, tested. It's called devotion. Devotion or goodness. And love would be most acceptable. Look at Ezra. Ezra. Now, when you get to Ezra, what we're going to see, Ezra 7, I'm sorry. Look at Ezra 7. Years ago, we had a wonderful time going through, just kind of getting a feel of all the books of the Bible. Maybe sometime I really need something to do, and, well, I can do it now, but Friday night or Thursday night, just to have for those who want it, go through the books again, just get a handle of them again. Also, something that we're going to do probably in November. I'm setting that sort of as my time frame on some Thursday nights. Those who want to, we're going to get together here and we're going to look in the Bible. We're going to talk about the Y2K because it's just too big and too many people with reputations and those with reputation, those without it, putting a whole lot in it. And so I'm thinking that in November we're going to spend some Thursday nights, maybe Monday, but some night, well, can do Monday, it's football, isn't it? I mean, if Green Bay Packers are saying David will not be here and come by and bomb the place before. So, but some nights we're just going to those who want to. It's not going to be taking our time here, but we'll spend some time doing that. Ezra 7, verse 28. Ezra 7, verse 28. Have a new translation. So let's take a look at it. Ezra 7, 28, and has extended loving kindness to me before the king. Now, the NIV says, has extended good favor. Now, the King James says, extended mercy. So, here again, same word. We have the different translations. Let's look at Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13. Let's take a look. Verse 14. Nehemiah 13, 14. New translation. Okay. Nehemiah 13, 14. Remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out my loyal deeds. That's the NASB, the NIV, faithfully done. What a faithfully done. The King James, good deeds. So here again, another translation. Let's go to Esther. You know the mystery of Esther. What word does not occur, or who does not occur in the book of Esther? Nowhere is his name found. God. In no way. Y'all know that? In nowhere in Esther is the name God, Jehovah. And that's why it's caused a lot of people a lot of trouble. Oh, but people, that book is so rich in the plan of God. And it's so rich in dealing with, if you can see what's going on in Esther, you'll see and understand Jesus Christ. You'll understand everything that happened on the cross if you understand Esther. It doesn't need this name. It's like spiritual love. It just, you see it, and that's the love of God. You see Esther, and it's a very powerful book. And tonight we need to just sit down and go through and identify all the people in Esther. And because there's a lot of problems about this, it causes a lot of problems with people. Anyway, we're not going to get through if I do that. Let's look at Esther 2:9. Esther 2:9. Now, the young lady pleased him, and boy, if I told you what it meant, you just could have walked out on me. Now, the young lady pleased him and found favor with him. Okay, now, here we have favor in both translations. The NASV, NIV, it's the word cussed, and didn't find love, they found favor with him, and the King James says found kindness with him. So he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and food and gave her 7 choice maids. Wouldn't you ladies like to find favor with this guy? Seven maids, and from the king's palace, transferred the maids. Just, I mean, boy, she's got it made now, once that's happened. Look at Esther 2:17. 2:17. Same chapter. Now look what we're going to do with the same word. And the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found favor and kindness. Now the NIV found approval. The King James, grace. But you see that other word, love, at the beginning? That's this word. So now we've got both words, and I'm going to show you a lot of verses like that where we're going to have both words in one verse. All right, let's just jump over to Psalms. You're getting weary on me, and I'm loving this. I had a ball doing this, but maybe sitting down and going through it. But Psalm 7, 5, Psalm 5. Let's take a look here. Got a new translation. Just a slight change, but we got some difference. 5:7. But as for me, by thine abundant loving kindness, I will enter thy house. And the NIV, very close and very beautiful here. But as for me, by thy great mercy, I will enter thy house. So here we have love or great mercy. Look at Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 7. Psalm 17, 7. Wondrously show thy loving kindness. The NIV, great love. This is the first time they've given it that kind of connotation. Great love. Wondrously show thy great love. Wondrously show thy loving kindness. O Savior of those who take refuge at thy right hand from those who rise up against them. Beautiful passage. Okay, Isaiah. And we'll go to the crucial part of Isaiah 40 through 60. Let's look at Isaiah 40. So let's look at Isaiah 40. New translation. We've not had it. We're going to see a word we haven't had. And you're going to learn something about love here. Isaiah 40, verse 6. A voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The NIV says, the NASB says, and all its loveliness, the NIV, all its glory, and the King James, all its goodliness. Three different translations for the same word. Now, this is talking about man, but boy, you just tap in, if you'll allow the Spirit to do it for you, you've just tapped into some one wonderful concept about love. Because often we talk about the glory of God. And I have often said to you, in trying to put a handle on what that word is, the glory of God is His love. This is the glory of God. It's His love. And next Tuesday night, we're going to get into this whole concept of looking at love as we've done before, but with some impact that will involve things like this. We're going to look at it as this wonderful spiritual force. Here's a spiritual force, and as we're going to see, this is how it's going to become His glory. I'll just show you that, but just getting you prepared for that. Look at Isaiah 51. Excuse me, 57. Isaiah 57. New word. New word. Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous man perishes, and no man takes it to heart. And devout men are taken away, while no one understands. Okay, the word devout, NASB, and NIV is our word tested. The King James says merciful men. And devout men, merciful men, we could say men of love, are taken away while no one understands. Okay? Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. Now, there's a reason I'm learning this one. Jeremiah 31:3. Okay, not so much because we're going to see a different translation, but let me show you what we are going to see in Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Now, first of all three translations that we're dealing with tonight, NASB, NIV, and King James, translates this loving kindness at the end there. What I want you to note is love is also used, translated. This is the word ahav. So ahav is pretty much consistently going to be translated love. Kesed. That's a rich word in that sense. In its dimension, it has a lot of different concepts in which it's going to be translated. So look at verse 3 now with me. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you, ahav, with an everlasting ahav. Therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness, or chesed, with my love. Okay? Let's go to Hosea. By the way, here's another thing. Because I'm going to be saying some things next week, and there are verses like this that the journey that the Spirit has taken me on. Look what he says. Therefore I have drawn you with chesed. People, what I want to show you, and I don't mind taking a moment of your time to do this tonight, what I'm going to show you is and we've done this before, but I want to enrich it with you. By way of analogy, understanding this thing called love, because the Bible doesn't define it, it describes it, is like that which holds us together, and that is the force, the physical force of gravity. Gravity cannot be defined. Physicists do not understand it. But this force is the force, sometimes I say a force that pushes and pulls. That is electromagnetic force. The force of gravity only can pull. It just keeps pulling. And what I'm going to be showing you is, look at this first half, and with that in mind, how his love is what's going to pull us to him and attract us to God and bring us to God. It says, therefore, I have drawn you with love. Loving kindness. I have drawn you with this. I have pulled you. What we're going to see about this love, people, when I was in seminary, we had a big theological argument over irresistible grace. What I'm beginning to realize is in Scripture, it's not irresistible grace. It's an irresistible love. And by irresistible, you might say, well, man can resist it. By irresistible, I mean inevitable. Man is going to be drawn inevitably to this love. It's of that power. What we're going to see in this push-pull, here's the earth. And the earth pulls the object. So if I want to have a plane leave the earth, it takes off, and it has to get further, and the further it gets away from the earth, the weaker is the sense of this pull. And what we're going to look at is, the further you draw yourself away from the love of God, the less you're going to sense its pulling effect in your life. If I don't sense the love of God in my life, you want to look at your life. Is there a force that is pulling me? And this force can be your love towards something else, a love of something else pulling you away, but you're not feeling and sensing the effect of God's love. Husband and wife, let's just pick on the man for a moment, doesn't sense the pull of the love of his wife. There are the women that... It's because there is something else pulling them away, and they're not even affected. And they're weaker and weaker. The pull of this love becomes weaker and weaker. And then I want to show you how this love is inevitable, though, as far as it being affected. But I just want to show you those things that we're going to be looking at. This is how this love is going to work through us and in us. Look at Hosea. Look at Hosea. It's a sign. Some of you didn't know there was a book Hosea, and that's my fault, not yours. But what is it? And just keep going. Do what I'm doing. Just keep going. And it's one of the what we call minor prophets. And if you find Daniel, you find Hosea. It's right after Daniel. So you just keep going. You run into Daniel. And boy, there's some things dealing with YTK, but we'll look at those later. Just remember the search, the second universe. You had the first universe, God and Satan had their battle, and there was a power struggle. What have we seen already as the great issue in the second universe? Here's the first universe, and it was power, and God won. And then we have the second universe, and then we have the third. This is eternity future. Anybody remember what the real issue is in the second universe? If this one's power, what was it here? Wisdom. Beautiful. Thank you so much. That makes it feel so good. Here's wisdom. If we look at the close of the 20th century, the ultimate of the wisdom of man, the creature, is what? Found where? In our computers. This is our grand stand on the wisdom of man, what we have created here. This is our creation. This is our wisdom point. And just kind of work through with me in this battle of wisdom and what's going on. Okay. Now, let's Hosea. That's where we are. And Hosea, we have some interesting translations. 6:6. Not 6:6:6, just 6:6. Okay. Hosea 6, verse 6. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Now, people, just from the standpoint of the verse, this is powerful. Don't want the sacrifices. Let's go back. For I delight in loyalty, the NASV. The NIV says, what did you say, ladies? Mercy. Mercy. And the King James says, mercy. For I delight in mercy. Now, go to James. What do we have there? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Those who are merciful, mercy will be given. Those who judge, judgment will be given to them. Okay. So, it's rather interesting. I'll go to Jonah. Oh, boy. Jonah's a book. I hope nobody ever comes up and really wants to study this one because I would lose some of you. It is a difficult book. A lot of people think it's just a big fun book about a big fun fish. But boy, it is so filled with problems. If you really see what's going on in Jonah and compare it with Jesus Christ and what's going on in the book, it's not an easy book. Jonah 2:8. I know a lot of people think it is, but it's not. Okay, let's see. We got some different translations now for the first time. A new word for the NIV people. Jonah chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 8. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. NIV says forsake their grace. King James, entirely different one, mercy. So those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, forsake their grace, forsake their mercy. So we have those different ones. Okay, let's look at Micah. We're almost through. Micah. That's good because we're almost through with the Old Testament. And we're dealing with an Old Testament word. Micah chapter 6. Here's a beautiful book in the Old Testament. Okay, Micah chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 8. Now, this is another fun verse. Let me tell you why. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Now, humble is walking by faith, because those who are humble will depend totally on the Lord. Now, look what it says here. We have the both words again. You have to love, and that word is ahav, And then kindness is chesed, to love mercy, to love kindness. Look at Micah 7. We have another new translation for the NASB. Micah 7:18. Who is God who is a God like thee who pardons iniquity? Now, people, in that phrase, in that statement by Micah, you have the whole resolving of all the sin problems, but Christians don't want to do this. Christians, as I said at the very beginning, they like to talk about the cross, but it wasn't enough. If you sin, and even if you repent and go back to faith, it doesn't matter. Christians have got to do something in judgment with you. Our ways are not your ways. My ways are not your ways, God said. Man is not ever going to understand his love without the power of the Spirit. It defies it. You're not going to understand this. You tell people, and even with the unbelievers at the cross, a lot of Christians, a lot of people have trouble. But Christians have trouble with Christians, not so much non-Christians. But it's sin at the cross. And this is our God. No, I cannot handle that. He's got to discipline. He's got to punish. He's got to set you aside. He's got to do all these things to you. We're getting a good picture from the church of what they would have done with King David. And yet God set David in, and he died in rulership. But man doesn't understand the ways of God. Now look at what it says. Who is a God like thee who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possessions? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. I love this translation. Unchanging love. The NIV says mercy, the King James mercy. But this is a new translation for the New American Standard, unchanging love. Okay. Let's see what we've done on this trip. Chesed translated 29 different ways in these three translations. Love, unfailing love, maintaining love, great love, unchanging love, kindness, kindly, loving kindness, great kindness, unfailing kindness, loyalty, mercy, merciful, great mercy, devotion, devout, favor, good favor, faithfulness, approval, glory, loveliness, grace, goodness, good, goodliness, unchanging love. All of those different translations are our same word, chesed. Now, there are a few other words in the Hebrew for love. They deal with other aspects that we don't need to really go into here. This gives you a feel of our problem when we're talking about the love of God. We're talking about love, period. But it's coming from God the Holy Spirit, coming from in through man, but it's coming just from God himself, but it's coming from man to others. And the different translations, I hope, will help you understand that we're not going to understand. I'm making no pretense as we go through 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and following, the 16 impacts of love, that we will understand love. And there's no pretense about this. What I want us to do is to take a journey and get our view of a sense of what this love does look like and what it will look like when the Holy Spirit pours it through me, what this love is going to look like. And it is so powerful. As I said, we have 27 here translations. We're going to have so many different impacts. And even as I go through the impacts, I'm going to be reminding you, like when we get to such words as kindness, I don't know what it looks like at any given point. Nobody knows what that looks like. You can't say this is what kindness looks like and try to imitate that and make it happen every time. People, what I want you to begin to grasp about this love of God pouring through you in the Holy Spirit, you can't make it happen. We can make our ideal of love happen. We can make a sloppy love happen. We can make a controlling love happen. But we cannot duplicate this love. This is God. God is love. And you and I do not know how it's going to look at any given time. But we do know that God is love. And this is, when we walk back and look back at a circumstance, That's what kindness looked like in that circumstance. That's what long-suffering looked like. That's what these things look like in that circumstance. I want to pick that up and imitate it over here. Don't do that. Because kindness is so rich that the very next day or later even that day, kindness may take on a different form in loving as Christ loved. And we have so many different words here, and all of them can be aptly applied. This is what his love looks like. His love is unchanging. His love is law. His love is favor. His love is grace. All these things. So what I do want us to begin to grasp as we go through this study of the fruit of the Spirit of love and what is that that we're talking about, we're only going to get a glimpse of it. Don't try to make it happen. Don't try to make it like you would make Ishmael. I understand love and I can make it happen in my life. I understand love and I can make this love happen in my marriage. People, you can read a love novel and make romantic love happen. You can set a romantic scene with candles and music and all that stuff. But you cannot do that with this love. You cannot make this love happen. We don't know what it's going to look like. This is a love that is of the Holy Spirit. It is a love that is of God. God, the Holy Spirit is God. This is a love that is of God. We have to trust Him to create this love and pour this love in us. This is why I say we walk by faith in the Spirit. What Christians want to do is walk by law. They want to walk by love. They want to walk by a lot of things and pick and choose where and when and how. But when you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, when you walk in the power of the Spirit, He will pour this love in. It will go contrary sometimes to what you even really want. You know, I'm walking in the Spirit and I see I don't have to offer sacrifices. People, that's a powerful thing. I just cannot overimpress you with how important that is in the history of Israel. But David himself said, if you wanted sacrifices, I would have given them. Didn't you want sacrifices, David? That's what the law says, David. And that's David's whole point. God doesn't want the law. God wants you to walk by trusting Him. That's what He wants. And David learned that. And so what I'm showing you is, in our life, don't try to figure out what God wants and you know it. Walk by faith in the Spirit. People, trust God to lead you, guide you, pour into you, your thinking, your thoughts, your actions, your relationship with husband, wife, friends, people, His life. And He'll do it. He will do it. You do not have to make this happen. It's not on your shoulders. You want to make romantic, just picking romantic love so I can make the point. It's on your shoulders to make it happen. Set the scene. Make everything right. The food right. The room right. The temperature right. The music right. Everything right. The lighting right. But this love, you don't have to work. You just walk by faith and trust Him. You have to desire this love. And then you trust the Spirit to pour this love in. And He will do it. And one thing we're going to learn about a force, more force picks up that momentum, the greater is the speed and the direction of that force. I'll show you this later. The more that you will walk in the Spirit, the more you will have the impact of this love pulling and pulling and pulling on you. Pulling you to Him. Pulling you to those that belong to Him. Love one another as I have loved you. Not pulling you away. Not judging. Not separating. But pulling you toward. This love is a phenomenon. It is God that we're going to be looking at. So in effect, what we're studying is Him. And as I told you before, we cannot define God. Don't try to define God, because the moment you define God, you have confined Him in your definition. And people, let me just share with you one thing about God. He loves it when you think you've defined Him to break out of that definition and show you, you don't understand me. Trust me. Because the moment Christians define Him, boom, God says, oh, good, you think that's the way I am? I'm going to act so contrary to that, it's going to boggle your mind. And that's why so many Christians are so discouraged and so despondent and angry at God and hate God and have all the problems with God. It started with, I've got God figured out, and God isn't acting the way I think he should in my marriage, in my life, and whatever the circumstances are. And now I'm angry at God. Why are we angry at God? Because we had him figured out, and he didn't act the way we wanted him to act. Don't do that. Just trust him. Just trust him to be God, to be a loving God in his dealings with you. Closing prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the scriptures, but how grateful we are for your Spirit whom you have given to us as the mind of Christ to see what the scriptures are saying. Father, we thank you so much for this assembly. We pray, Father, that you will continue to use this assembly, that your Spirit open the eyes of some of these people, these missionary organizations and missionaries, and the grasp of reaching, Father, and let us be standing there ready, Father, to do whatever you would have us to do. Thank you, Father, for this evening to open up and get a glimpse of the multi-direction of understanding of this love, seeing the impact, the effects of your love, even by just understanding its words. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.